Hi, this is Matt Hagan, driver of the Die Hard Nitro Funny Car, 2011 champion. You're listening to WFO.
NHRA fans, if you love hearing from your favorite drivers and all the inside scoop from the Full Throttle Drag Racing Series, you'll love WFO Radio. Download the iPhone application in the App Store now. It's just $1.99.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Just $1.99 for the WFO Radio NHRA Nitro Show, driver interviews, drag racing news, and much more.
That would be awesome.
Go to the App Store and search WFO Radio. If you've got the iPhone, for just $1.99, you've got WFO. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, what a weekend in the ATL. Hotlanta bringing up some new winners, nothing like a first-time winner on the show, but we just talked to him a couple of weeks ago because we knew. Joining us now, Steve Torrence. Steve, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back. Hopefully we get to do this some more, but last time we talked, we were hoping for after Atlanta, and we made it happen.
That is fantastic, and you know, one of our like slogans here on the show is where you hear the winners, and the winners, part of winning, is coming on WFO Radio, and welcome to the winners show. That's a big deal. You crushed them.
Well, we had a good race car all weekend. You know, Richard Hogan really had the hot weather tune-up pretty much nailed. The car was absolutely flying all weekend. We were 85, 87, 84, you know, and just when other people weren't even getting down the track. One session, we'd go 87, and the quickest lap behind us was a 91. So, you know, really had a good handle on the tune-up, and, you know, I wasn't driving too bad this weekend. Had some pretty good lights, had a real close race against Brandon there in the third round. I missed the tree a little bit, but, you know, I feel like we worked hard for that win. I'm proud of it.
That was a fantastic race. In fact, your lights, 50, 55, 71, 46, all very competitive reaction times. You were there all day, and that's how you got to be, and the car was running, but you're right. That semifinal run, that was a nail-biter.
Yeah, you know, Brendan, those guys, the whole Morgan Lucas race team has really stepped up this year, and either one of those cars can put you on the trailer pretty quick. Brandon, he's a good driver, been out here for a long time, so, you know, I had a lot of respect for him going up there. We went in, turned the pre-stage bulbs on, and when we both staged, it was almost simultaneously that the stage bulbs came on. It threw me all off of my game a little bit, and I know it probably did the same for him, so I think we were 71 and 74, and then at the end of the track, we were 7 thou apart. I could hear him the whole way, the motor beside me, and I was thinking, come on, come on. I knew that Cabco car could get there, but, you know, it was that 3.8 seconds was a long time when you got another car beside you and you're waiting on that wind light to come on.
Now, you're an alcohol dragster world champion. You are no stranger to winning races, to what it takes mentally to get out there. But then when you jump into Top Fuel, and you guys have been doing this for a while in many different ways, it's just a totally different level, a totally different ball game. Now that you have accomplished one of your major goals, something I know you've been working towards all of this time, and you look back at how much distance you traveled to get from there to here, how satisfying is it to have finally accomplished that?
It's very, very satisfying. I don't know if you can completely put it into words. You're right, you know, I did win a championship then in the A-Fuel car, and you know, that helped a lot, because you go through the stress and the mind games that happens, you know, four rounds of eliminations one day, the pressure of going in the final against, you know, some big name guys. Never have I been in the final against somebody like Tony Schumacher, so, you know, that was a little intimidating, but, you know, I was prepared for that. I've been in that situation before, and I feel like I handled myself well under pressure. It's a long ways. It's been a long time coming, you know, to get here. We raced with Dexter for, you know, 5-6 years and didn't run the full schedule but once, and it's just, you know, it's a huge sense of accomplishment to go out, start a team, 3.5 months be racing the team, and then 10 races into that, win your first race. I don't think you can put that into words.
It really is. I don't want to say it's unprecedented, but I really hope that everybody, even myself, to comprehend the level of the accomplishment is difficult to do. Just and the side story about what happened to you at the World Finals last year, just there's been a lot of bumps in the road, or not even making the World Finals is really the story. The bumps in the road, I can imagine there were several times where you guys wanted to just throw your hands in the air and say, is it worth it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes you get like that, but, you know, I had cancer when I was 17. You can't just throw your hands in the air and say you quit there. So, I mean, that's really brought a whole new light to the way that I view things and the way that I go about stuff. So sometimes you just got to dig deep and go for it and get in there and you know, go through whatever you got to do. But, I can't express how hard these guys have worked, how hard Richard Hogan, how hard Brian Shipman have worked, the long hours and dedication that every man on this team has put in to get us where we're at, because this is all the way a team sport, and, you know, none of us do it by ourselves, and so every one of us deserve the praise for winning a race.
Steve, I did not know that you were a cancer survivor, and I apologize for that, but it's talk about a character builder.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I was 17. It was my senior year of high school, and it makes you grow up pretty quick and look at things a lot differently. So I don't talk about it a lot, but, you know, I try to do some stuff with the kids. I try to do some stuff with people that are going through that, because you never know how someone else feels until you've been in those shoes. And you know, you don't want to put anybody, you wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy. That's a hard battle. And the people that are going through it, you know, they need all the support they can get.
Absolutely. Could not say it better. And Steve, increases the level of accomplishment. Now, I would love to focus in on the period of time after the win light against Brandon to staging the car against the Sarge. You know, he's had a really tough run, one of the toughest runs of his career, in that he's lost like 10 final rounds in a row, but not because they're bad. They're good. They're just getting beaten, and you knew they were hungry, and he was coming after you, and he did come after you. Take me through your mental process as you're trying to deal with the fact you're in the final round. This could be the one you win. Of course you want to win. How great would that be? And you look over, and you see that Army car. You know, one of the best. How about this? The best is going to try to stop you.
Well, you know, I mean, that plays a huge factor into everything. That guy right there is Tony Schumacher. He is a 7-time world champion, holds all types of records, won more races than anybody. I mean, yeah, you start stacking all those up and reading them, it'll make you want to turn around and go back to the trailer. But, you know, that's not what we're about at Torrance Racing. I mean, you know, just like what we're talking about with the cancer, we're here to overcome. We're here to prove a point. We've put this team together in a short period of time. We've blown everybody's expectations out of the water. And who would have really thought a one-car team, less than a year old, comes out, goes and runs the way that we've been running, you know, qualifying one here, number two there, and just showing what we can do. It's pretty gratifying. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, we've got to race Tony in the final. That guy knows what he's doing. He's multiple-time world champion, but you know what? I've been a champion too, and I know what I'm doing here. Drive the car, do my job. Richard Hogan and these guys are going to give me the race car that it takes to win. They need to beat us. And you know, I had confidence going into it. So stay humble, be thankful to God, do your job, and just do it.
And after the victory, as you're thinking about everything that just went down, I can't imagine that the fact that Tony Schumacher, the winningest driver ever, will forever be your first final round victim, so to speak. That's got to make it all the more special just on a personal level.
It really is. And, you know, the whole way down through there, we left the tree. I hear him right there for a little bit, and then he kind of starts fading away. I don't really know what happens. I don't have a radio in the car with me, and I know that there's not a car beside me that I can hear. So I click the button, push the chutes, shut the car off, and I'm coasting down through there. The guy at the end of the track is waving. I saw the wind light come on, and, you know, it's just surreal. I didn't, you know, it took quite a while to process, and I don't think I've completely processed it yet, but Tony is a very good competitor, great guy, We said a prayer together before we ran. He was the first guy there to congratulate me on the win. And, you know, he's a class act. I've looked up to him for a long time. I think he set the bar as, you know, a good, accomplished top fuel driver. And if you can go up there and race that guy and win, I mean, that sets you apart and, you know, gave me a feeling of, you know, I've kind of made it. So he's a good friend of mine, a lot of respect for him, and it's very, very gratifying to get the win.
All right, Steve, what about Kansas? Give it to me.
We're pretty optimistic going into Kansas. You know, we got a real good race car right now, and we're going to try to carry this momentum because that's what a lot of this is about. We, right now we're the big man on the totem pole. We get to go 2 weeks with a win, so we'll go back to the shop and get ready, but Kansas is pretty special for me. That's the first place I ever got a win in the alcohol car, so hopefully we can repeat there in the fuel car.
Now, Steve, I always ask first-time winners, what was the party like, Steve? What about after the dust had settled? What did you guys do?
Let me tell you, the party was absolutely epic. Can't describe it. You just had to be there to witness it. My dad was there. You know, we felt like we were getting really close to possibly getting that first win, and he point blank told me when we got home from Houston, he says, I'm not missing a race because I'm scared I'm going to miss that win. So we got back to the pits. All the Coletta guys came over. Morgan Lucas and his guys came over and hung out for a while. Sean Langdon, Dom LaDonna. I mean, just everybody gathered around. We hung out, had a good time and just celebrated. So the after party definitely was huge. I think we shut it down about 3 o'clock, Monday morning.
That is awesome. And that's how you're supposed to do it. Now, Steve, you've got this win out of the way. The points say you're the best of the, first of all, you're the best single car team. You are climbing the points sheet. And what about bigger goals, my friend? You got some thoughts out there about disrupting this championship chase?
You know, we're going to do everything we can to set out and disrupt it. I mean, we'd love to stick this Capco car up there in the at Pomona behind that banner that says world champion and all that stuff. You know, I mean, yeah, those are always goals and thoughts that we would like to do, but we're going to take this thing one race, one lap at a time and continue to try to do what we've been doing. You know, I'm not too concerned about points. The only thing about points is right now it lets you run at the back of the pack first for the first round of qualifying. So, you know, those things really don't mean a whole lot. 1 through 10 get to show up and race for the countdown. And after Indy, when we start that, we want to be somewhere in that top 10 and see what we can do. You know, Ellie Tonga showed that you can make it in, you can win.
That is a fact. Steve, I'm going to let you go. I know you got traveling and whatnot. I will say, though, for your father, that was very efficient of you to go out and win the next race so he doesn't have to do a lot of traveling.
Yeah, I was trying to get, you know, give him all the break I could. So he'll make some more of them with us. My mom wasn't there, unfortunately, but we're going to do the best we can to get a win with her there. Hopefully they'll start coming a little easier, but you know what? This top fuel field has really stepped it up over the last few years. If you go out there and you're late on the tree and have a fast car, you're going home because the guy beside you is going to be 40 on the tree and going to run exactly what you did. So the parity in the class is, you know, at an all-time high. So couldn't be more excited about it. To get that win was just a huge accomplishment. And you know, I want to end this deal with hats off to Richard Hogan, Brian Shipman, and every guy that's been part of this team, because without them, we would not be here.
Absolutely, and it has been a lot of fun to watch. I say it a lot that you guys are entertainers first. You're putting on a show, and you have put on a great show this season, but I'm really glad you broke through. Sometimes you can be good and get close, and then it just kind of falls apart. Not this time. You locked in a win. You definitely have arrived. Congratulations, and thanks for joining us on the WFO Radio Winners Edition, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is WFO Radio.